trumpet summons us again.
The trumpet summons us again.
Not as a call to bear arms.
Not as a call to bear arms.
Though arms we need.
Though arms we need.
Not as a call to battle.
Not as a call to battle.
Though in battle we are.
Though in battle we are.
But a call to bear the burden.
But a call to bear the burden.
Of a long.
Of a long.
Twilight struggle.
Twilight struggle.
Year in, year out.
Year in, year out.
Rejoicing in hope.
Rejoicing in hope.
Patient in tribulation.
Patient in tribulation.
A struggle against.
A struggle against.
The common enemies of man.
The common enemies of man.
Tyranny.
Tyranny.
Poverty.
Poverty.
Tyranny.
Tyranny.
Poverty.
Poverty. And tyranny. And poverty. And tyranny. And poverty. Disease and war. Himself and target summons us again. Not as a call to bear arms. No arms we need. Not as a call to battle. Though in battle we are. But a call to bear the burden.
Tyranny.
Tyranny.
Poverty.
Poverty.
Tyranny.
Tyranny.
Poverty.
Poverty. The tyranny of poverty. The tyranny of poverty. Disease and war itself.
And now, here's Johnny.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your...
Here is a bulletin. Here is a bulletin.
What is it?
Stand by, please. Stand by, please.
In Dallas, Texas...
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. In the motorcade route.
Texas.
He runs the Carousel Club. Here is the ambulance.
More details.
sped on.
A dark day in Dallas. It was a dark day indeed. When death stalked the streets of Big D, then reaped the fruit of the devil's seed. The fruit of the devil's seed. There was no hint of disaster as Air Force One touched down and brought the president and his lady on a visit to Dallas town. On a visit to Dallas town. This dark day in Dallas, November 22, 1963, a devil's dream came true. A devil's dream came true. That Texas sun was won, his heart was black with hate, and filled with pride that he was to guide the treacherous hand of fate, the treacherous hand of fate. They were almost through the gauntlet, minutes away, when the snipers gunned him, the Texas sun darkened Dallas that day. Yes, darkened Dallas that day. The sniper fired and the awful sound was heard around the world. Though he was cut down in Dallas town, his banner is still unfurled. His banner is still unfurled. The spirit of President Kennedy still walks across this land. Why don't you see John F. Kennedy lives in every free man. Lives in every free man.
On that very sad day, John F. Kennedy was called away. We didn't know he was leaving Washington to stay. And now he is gone, and all we can do is sing these songs. He had no fears, even though many people have shed tears. And when John F. Kennedy was called to rest, I know then he did his best. He tried so hard to give each and every one a start. He tried to make the rich man see, if it wasn't for the poor man, how could we eat? In Dallas, out in the street, someone wanted to see him defeated. He saw that there's really no use, because there's nothing anyone wanted to do. He tried so hard to give each and every one a start. He tried to make the rich man see, if it wasn't for the poor man, how could we eat? On that very sad day, John F. Kennedy was called away. We didn't know he was leaving Washington to stay. And now he is gone, and all we can do is sing these songs.
Lee Harvey was a friend of mine.
It is a great pleasure to be back on the beach here at Santa Monica.
Yay!
Now, you must all realize that these appearances are very important to me. Jockey gave me a fresh bleach job just last night, and Pierre has been helping me wax down my board in the back of the Woody on the way over from the airport. Now, at this time, I should like to thank the governor for the foam rubber huaraches I'm wearing. They are very comfy. And now... Jockey, for goodness sake, tell Teddy to pull up his baggies. And now I'd like to say it's a great pleasure to be your guest at this affair. and I should like to get on with the dance contest. Now all of you, ho daddies, grab your ho mummies, and we'll all hike, I mean stop. Oh well, they know I'm under pressure. Now when I say hit it, I want you to make a big strong wedge with a solid left hand macaroni. Then hang five and shoot the curl. Now hit it. Ah, you're looking good. Jockey, I wish you'd get Caroline to turn her amplifier down. Yeah, remind me to get Bobby a new reed tomorrow. We all want to get into the act. Yes, I think we have a winner. It's the little couple from over in the corner. No, don't stop the music. Let's bring them up here and give them a big hand.
Hiya, big surfer.
Hi, big surfer.
Hiya, kids. Hiya.
Oh, gosh, this is really exciting.
Oh, yeah.
What do we win?
Well, as the winners of our dance contest, you will receive an all-expense-paid trip.
Oh, really?
Yes, an all-expense-paid trip as the first members of the Peace Corps to be sent to Alabama.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask not.
Ask not.
Ask not.
Ask
not what your country can do.
Ask what you can do for your country.
Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Let us never negotiate out of fear.
Let us never negotiate. Let us never negotiate out of fear.
But let us never fear to negotiate.
But let us never fear to negotiate. Negotiate. Negotiate.
Let us
never fear to negotiate.
Negotiate out of fear.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask not.
Ask not.
Ask not.
Ask not.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask what you can do for your country.
Ask what you can do for your country, 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 country.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, or good morning, or good afternoon. Isn't it nice that we're not on a timetable with rigid, fixed rules about when we have to listen?
From 10 o'clock to 11:20 every day.
Not today. I'd like to welcome you to the Bits Lab. I'm KBC, and you are my guest for the next hour and 20 minutes or so. Hour or so. And today we're going to be taking a look at the 60s. Now, I started putting together stuff on the 60s because today is the 50th anniversary of the 60s. Actually, it was yesterday, but who cares? And I wound up with just so much stuff. I mean, whew. So I thought I'd narrow it down. We'll be revisiting it from time to time in the not-too-distant future. Of, you know, elements that we all had. You know, old music, we'll get some old music, we'll get some other stuff. Today we're dealing with politics, because it seems to be on everyone's mind these days. It could very well fairly be said that the whole 60s shit train really began with the assassination of JFK. And to that effect, we put together a set with that to begin the whole thing. We started with Sing Along with JFK, and that was the trumpet. Sing Along with JFK is a whole album of that stuff, and it's really hard to take, but a couple minutes at a time you can do it. The Motorcade Sped On was Steinsky and Mass Media. Dark Day in Dallas from Tex Ritter. JFK was Called Away was Norman Burns. He was one of those MSR do-it-yourself songwriter crew. Lee Harvey Was a Friend of Mine from Homer Henderson and the Del Worthington Garden Boys. The Big Surfer from Brian Lord and the Midnighters. And one more from Sing Along with JFK, the Ask Not Waltz. So, you know, the whole 60s political thing and the cultural revolution, etc., etc. We'll be looking at all that stuff starting today. We've got a few political things for you today and etc. A little look at the war. So without too much more ado, we'll get into that. And I'd like to remind you, if you have ideas for this ongoing project, it's kbcradio@hotmail.com. Glad to hear from you. In the meantime, let's jump back into it with both feet, shall we? I'll be back in a bit.
Depicted here happened just 100 years apart. Both President Lincoln and President Kennedy were concerned with the issue of civil rights. Lincoln was elected in 1860. Kennedy was elected in 1960, 100 years apart. Both were shot from behind in the head. Their successors, both named Johnson, were Southern Democrats with seats in the Senate. Andrew Johnson was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson was born in 1908, 100 years apart. John Wilkes Booth, the man that shot Lincoln, was born in 1839. Lee Harvey Oswald, the man that shot Kennedy, was born in 1939, 100 years apart. Booth and Oswald were Southerners, favoring unpopular ideas. Booth and Oswald were both assassinated before going to trial. Both presidents' wives lost children through death while in the White House. Both presidents were killed on a Friday and in the presence of their wives. President Lincoln's secretary, whose name was Kennedy, advised him not to go to the theater. President Kennedy's secretary, whose name was Lincoln, advised him not to go to Dallas. John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln in a theater and ran to a warehouse. Lee Harvey Oswald shot Kennedy from a warehouse and ran to a theater. The names Lincoln and Kennedy each contain 7 letters. The names Andrew Johnson and Lyndon Johnson each contain 15 letters. The names John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald each contain 15 letters. And friends, it is true. History does repeat itself.
Republican Party, the one of our joys, will live on forever and give us the most. We can stop all our dreaming and go to the polls. Don't be like a ship that is stuck on the shore. Do as they promise, and that is a fact. There'll be no more praying for things that we lack. Let's all live for the future and not for the past. We'll live on together with friendships that last.
That they promised they were going to do. So the people got together and they made up their minds that they're gonna try somebody new. For the plan that's in there now, they have let this country down, and they know that their time is running out. They'll be stopped short, never to win again, 'cause Barry's moving in. They've been in there all this time and they haven't done a thing that they promised they were going to do. So the people people got together and they made up their mind that they're gonna try somebody new. For the plan that's in there now, they have let this country down, and they know that their time is running out. They'll be stopped short, never to win again, 'cause Barry's proving in. Just a few months they have to go, quick, months they won't be coming back no more, never more be stopped short, never to win again, 'cause Barry's proving in.
God, in his infinite wisdom, put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth, a courageous leader and a blessed man, surely in God's plan. Infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. His heritage is from heaven, and the magic from above, the rapture of music and melody, of culture and of love. Yes, God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. A leader with endless courage, a miracle you might say, and all who have met Nixon love him so, the genius of his way. God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless worth. God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage, one of priceless
Nixon's the one. song of Spiro Agnew and all the things he's done.
This is a strange but true story that proves that great men indeed repeat themselves, that greatness indeed follows the same pattern. The facts depicted here are strange almost to the point of incredibility. Both of the great men we will tell you about are concerned with the triumph of good over the black forces of evil. Both of these great men are rich, and both of these great men have searching blue eyes. The name Lyndon contains six letters. The name Batman contains six letters. At Batman's side stands the boy Wonder. At Lyndon's side stands the Wonder Boy. The names Robin and Hubie each contain five letters. The names Washington and Gotham City each contain 10 letters. The names Riddler and Wallace each contain 7 letters. The names Mr. Robert S. McNamara and Commissioner Gordon each contain 18 letters. The name Castro lacks 1 letter, having the same number as Penguin. The names the Batplane and Air Force One each contain 11 letters. Batman's Batmobile is in reality an experimental model Lincoln Continental. Lyndon's Lincoln Continental is in reality an experimental Batmobile. Behind the Cape Crusader stands a young bird named Robin. Behind the tall Texan stands an old Crusader named Bird. Bank robbers tremble when Batman spreads his net, and bank presidents tremble with what Lyndon nets from his spread. If you subtract the year of Lyndon's birth, which is 1908, from the year he graduated from high school, which is 1924, you get 16. Add 16 to 36 because Lyndon is the 36th president, and you get 52. There are 52 weeks in a year, 7 days in a week. Add 2 for the number of family beagle hands, and you get 9. The square root of 9 is 3. Divide this by a wife and 2 daughters, and you get 1. And there is only 1 Batman.
Okay, it's me again. I don't want to break in and interrupt your fun, but I do have to come in here and read this playlist here. Today we're dealing with the 60s because it's been 50 years and we haven't learned a goddamn thing. As I remember it, we had a thriving economy. We had a popular young president with a wife and 2 kids. But at least we don't have some stupid war that we gotta worry about that we shouldn't be in. What? When? All right, well, 2 out of 3 anyway. We started that set with the Electric Nubians, one of their many, many hits. That was Memories of the 60s, and you know the old joke about if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. That pays tribute to that. Okay. All right, Buddy Starch, after that, History Repeats Itself. The parallels between Lincoln and John Kennedy. The Republican Party from Norman Cox. Barry's Moving In, the Goldwaters. They were so sure that Barry was a shoo-in, they wrote a song about him. Needless to say, they were unpleasantly surprised. Following that, Rod Keith, Terry Summers, and the MSR Singers, God Gave Us Richard Nixon. Nixon's The One after that from the Nick Caesar Orchestra, The Ballad of Spiro Agnew, remember him? John Denver, great man. And then Great Men Repeat Themselves from Homer and Jethro. About the greatest figure of them all in the 60s. That's right, Batman. I saw a Batman movie the other day. It was just hysterical. It's just so dated and just so campy. Remember camp? Things were camp. you know? The 60s gave us James Bond and Batman and a permanent mistrust of politicians. Oh well, two out of three weren't so bad. So anyway, we're going to move on to the Vietnam kind of saga. Dug up a few things about the war and the attitudes towards it. This is what made the whole thing so difficult. I really remember all this stuff going on around me. I could have been in the war. I was war age at the time. And if I had been a year older, I'd be dead now, because I would have gone over there. And I'm the kind of soldier who would have been walking point all the time and would have got himself killed. So here's the war memories.
Yeah, come on, all of you big strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. He's got himself in a terrible jam, way down yonder in Vietnam. So put down your books and pick up a gun. I'm gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, like a two, like a three, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven, open up the pearly gates. Five, let's move fast. The old big chance has come at last. Gotta go out, get those reds. The only good commie is one that's dead. And you know that peace can only be won when the golden rule of the kingdom come. And it's one, two, three, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven, open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why we're all gone. Throughout the land, back your boys off to Vietnam. Come on, folks, don't hesitate. Send them off before it's too late. Be the first one on your block to have your boy come home in a box. And it's one, two, three, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven, open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why we're all gonna die.
To the flower power, a trivial portion of our population, I'm happy to note. If you're attempting to put on the whole world, forget it. Many of the world governments have no sense of humor at all, and ours is getting a little thin. If you're deriving your philosophy from drugs, remember that sooner or later playtime ends and it's time for show and tell. If you're really sincere, then why not find your own Shangri-La, set up shop, and stop attempting to convert the millions of responsible Americans that have already found theirs. To rebel against tyranny is commendable. To rebel against freedom in any form is asinine. As long as you do not keep me from my barber, I have no quarrel with your long hair or beards. As long as I'm not required to spend any time in an enclosed area with you, the same goes for your body hygiene. You profess to believe in free love when it's in private with two consenting adults. Isn't that your kind of bag? However, the freedom you so vigorously seek by your demonstration, that of enjoying the benefits of this country's advantages while refusing to take part in strengthening its structure, is selfish pusillanimity. make love not war, you say. From where a lot of people your age are sitting, it doesn't appear that the North Vietnamese want to kiss them. You attempt to imply that people in America like war. I'm forced to admit there are a handful of people in this country that do enjoy wars, but they're a bigger bunch of nuts than you are. I must admit your make love, not war, does bring a sick, humorous thought to mind. If everyone in the world could be convinced, when two countries disagreed on anything, they could have a love-in. A panel of impartial judges could select the winner. If you ever should, heaven forbid, convince the majority of this country to practice your policy of make love, not war, it would be only a matter of time before the communists would be telling you to make all the love you want right after a 10-hour gig in the salt mines. If you refuse to face up to reality that life consists of a little more give than take, if you refuse to contribute anything more to our society than your blooming philosophy, consider this. There must be an uncharted island somewhere, covered with flowers and void of soap and razors. So please, be my guest.
This is a protest against protesters.
Fearless cowards of the USA, bravely here at home they stay. They watch their friends get shipped away. The draft dodgers of the yellow beret, yellow streaks up and down their spines. Men who gladly stay behind. They won't fight for the USA. They fought hard for a yellow beret. Men who faint at the sight of blood. Their high-heeled boots weren't meant for mud. The draft board will hear their sob stories today. Only the best in the yellow beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her yellow beret has met his fate. He's been drafted for marching in a protest, leaving her his last request. Put a yellow streak down my son's back. Make sure that he never ever fights back. At his physical, have him say he's gay. Have him win the yellow beret. The yellow beret.
You can't take me. I've got a sore knee, and I got a bad back, and I'm allergic to everything, and I have asthma, and look at that hangnail, and I got a pimple on my trigger finger. And besides, I know it's my injured colleagues, but I'm just starting to learn. Well, we were planning on having children sometime soon. My dad.
The yellow beret. Yeah, the yellow beret.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The yellow beret, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the yellow beret. Oh,
now, yeah, now, now.
The yellow beret, baby.
This is an African tribal chant that we wrote called Suppose They Give a War and No One Comes.
Manya Yala!
Ula Wanga!
Manya Yala!
Wunga Yula!
I have seen blood running in the streets. I have seen small children starving. I have seen the agony fellows and wives. I hate war.
There are many who claim ours is a sick society, that our country is sick, that we are sick. Well, maybe they are right. I submit that I am sick, and maybe you are too. I am sick of being told that policemen are mad dogs who should not have guns, but that criminals who use guns to rob, maim, and murder should be understood and helped back to society. I am sick of the lack of concern for victims of all crimes, while most seem to pity the criminal and his rights. I'm sick of Supreme Court decisions which turn criminals loose on society, while other decisions try to take away my means of protecting my home and family. I'm sick of not being able to walk down the streets with friends or hand in hand with loved ones for fear of bodily harm or even death. I'm sick of not being able to take my family to a movie unless I want to have them exposed to nudity, homosexuality, and the glorification of narcotics. I'm sick of being told that pornography is the right of the free press, but that freedom of the press does not include being able to read the Bible on school grounds. I'm sick of busing and what it has done to all of our children of all races. I am sick of the decline of personal integrity and human compassion. I am sick of the I don't give a damn or what's in it for me attitudes of my neighbors. I am sick of seeing fellow Americans doing without while foreign aid is at an all-time high. I am sick of the middle-class Americans carrying a greater percentage of the tax burden, while other segments of the system have more loopholes than a sieve. I'm sick of cynical attitudes towards patriotism. I'm sick of those who say I owe them something when I have looked down both ends of a gun barrel to defend their rights, their liberties, and their families. I'm sick of the small, two-bit countries overpowering our embassies, making a mockery of our flag and the freedom it truly stands for. I am sick of the dual personalities of many of our politicians with no backbones. I'm sick of the limp-wrist approach many of our government officials endorse, and now men losing their jobs for displaying the American flag on their hard hats. I'm sick of the OPEC nations putting the oil squeeze on this country, but I'm even more sick at our own country's oil companies tightening the noose on fellow Americans. I am sick of government telling me to conserve energy and travel less, and yet doing little or nothing to tighten its own belt. Most of all, though, I'm sick of being told that I am sick. I'm sick of being told that my country is sick, when we have the greatest nation that man has ever brought forth on the face of this earth. Fully 50% of the people on earth would willingly trade places with the most deprived, the most underprivileged among us. Yes, I may be sick, but if I am only sick, I can get well. I can also help my society and my country get well. Take note, all of you, I will refuse to malign my country's founding principles, but will offer viable alternatives to our problems. I'll be at work paying taxes, serving in the community where I live. You will find me contributing my time, money, and personal influence to helping churches, hospitals, charities, and other establishments which have shown the true spirit of this country's determination to generate brotherhood, eliminate hunger, and ease pain and suffering, as displayed by our great Canadian neighbors in our time of need. Most of all, you will find me at the polling place. There, if you listen, you can hear the thunder of the common man. There, all of us can cast our votes for an America where people can walk the streets without fear. God bless America.
In answer to the attacks of these dissenters, the Vice President states,
"And if the hippies and the yippies and the disruptors of the systems that Washington and Lincoln as presidents brought forth in this country will shut up and work within our free system of government, I will lower my voice."
Come on down, the weather's fine. But first we're gonna check you out and teach you what to do. So buddy, better stand in line. We're gonna strip you naked and build you up again. And then we're gonna mess up your mind. And then we'll send you in the jungle. If you're lucky, you'll survive. You'll learn to dodge and play more mines. You'll be a dog in the heart. Yes, you will. I went down to the trap board and said, "You guys are nuts. Killing people just ain't right." They looked at me and laughed out loud and rolled on the floor and said, "You're really out of sight. Take our 8-week basic course. It's called 100 Ways to Kill. We know that you'll see the light." They grabbed me by the arm, I knew they weren't kidding around, and I began to feel uptight. I can't get good in the hog's clothing. No, no, no. We'll be right back.
radio, but that did me no good. They said to war or jail, you must go. I said that isn't very much of a choice, so let me think, I'll let you know. They said it's unpatriotic to think out loud, sound like a peacenik bingo. So they threw me in the prison with a 5-year term, and now I'm feeling pretty low. 'Cause I'm a dove in convict's clothing, oh no, no.
Dear Dad, I've read your letter and it's a good letter. But it answers a lot of questions in my name. It doesn't answer me. Sure, the important thing is freedom, the freedom to be yourself. If that means bearded like Lincoln or as long-haired as Andrew Jackson. But it means more. It means that I and my generation want to try to become whatever we can. To learn about living, not by listening. The music we like, our sports and friends and worries, these make our lives. And they're as important to us as your business, your marriage, your friends are to you. We want to become real people, Dad, sincere people, and we know it isn't easy. Because we've been around. And I mean we've been around you and your generation. We've seen the difference between what a lot of our parents say and what they do. We can't settle for talking morality and then spend our lives cheating on it. You tell me that God isn't dead, that God is love. Fine. But for most people, God happens only on Sunday. And for those people, God is dead. My generation is trying to find God inside ourselves. Not for just a few hours a week, but for a whole lifetime. So maybe God is dead. Just so he can be reborn again, for us, for now. You know, Dad, it's funny. When you talk about God, you talk about love and morality and private belief. Then very suddenly you change when you talk about war. War, you say, isn't all that private. War isn't God, and it sure isn't love, but you say it's necessary. And that's where we disagree. That's where the big divide happens. I love my country, but I want it to show me a little love, too. I owe my country everything that I am. But it owes me everything I'll become, because what I become is what my country will become. And I want this country to be free enough to let all of us decide whether war is dirty, unfair, immoral, bloody, and necessary. Dad, you said that if I ever decided to burn my draft card, I'll stop being your son. I won't. You can't turn me off. And maybe that's the difference between us. I don't believe that you can turn people off. Whatever I do, it'll be because I am your son, and it'll make me more your son, not less. I'm not trying to attack your world, I'm just trying to make mine. And in my world, God isn't dead, neither am I, and neither are you. It's getting to be more my world every day, and we have to live in it together. My father and your son.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
I'm an American officer in Vietnam. It isn't an easy task. In fact, with the actions of some of my countrymen, it isn't easy being an American, even in America. By today's standards, it may be important to some of you to know I am a white American. To many, this factor must be known before they can judge my ability and worth. You know, men get close in war. Two of my men were killed just a day apart by snipers. Enemy snipers, not rioting neighbors. I found a letter on the second boy's body he'd written to his congressman, and I thought its contents might help you select the next color scheme in your judgment of man. Dear sir, I'm writing to you because I have no mother and father, and my chaplain agreed there was an outside chance you could help. Now, I didn't vote for you because I'm not old enough, but if you can help me, I promise I will when I'm 21. My buddy Carl got himself killed yesterday. He was a great guy, sir. He never did anything great that you'd ever hear about, but he was my friend. He saved my life 3 times, but that's not why he's my friend. It was because he was a man that cared. Carl and I talked a lot, except when we were pinned down in a mud hole and both too scared to talk. We planned to do things together when we got home, like trying to do something about all the hate and the lawlessness in our hometown. Carl used to say, "Jeff, it isn't all the people, it's hoods, bigots, and hate mongers." And he said people were trying to replace moral obligation with legislation. And the credibility gap between man, his God, and his conscience was widening. Carl was a smart man. He was my friend. And I'd like to apologize for the water spots on this letter. It isn't raining. I just loved my friend. Sir, Carl and I hope that if we got killed over here, we'd get together in heaven. And he worried about maybe with all the hate and prejudice on earth, heaven might be segregated. And we discussed the futility of you people attempting to legislate morality. But just in case, would you do me a favor? Introduce a bill to integrate heaven. I honestly believe I'll go to heaven when I die. But I don't want to go if my friend is not there. And he felt that if God could condemn a whole race of people because of the beliefs and actions of a few, he might have a problem getting in. You see, sir, my buddy Carl was white.
All right, we're back. And I don't know about you, but listening to all those songs really, really got me in a piss-off mood. You know, all these people are out there jumping up and down, let's kill people. If it saves one American life, it's worth it. Wouldn't a lot of money in healthcare do more than that, save more than one life? Is that not worth it? The whole hypocrisy of it really gets me. We had a lot of that back in the 60s, too. So, the playlist. All right, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get started on this, but just, you know, all these songs really opened up a lot of old wounds for me. I was there back then. I didn't partake in the protest marches. I knew that they were useless. I knew that they weren't going to sink in. All it does is make the people who you're protesting against get their back up even harder and make them more determined to be stupid. And it's the same thing today. So that's for the record. For all you FBI people listening out there, I wasn't the one. But I want you, everybody, stand up for the Fixin' to Die Rag, the anthem of the 60s. Country Joe and the Fish. Victor Lundberg, the Glenn Beck of the 60s. To the Flower Power. The Yellow Beret from the Beach Bums, featuring a young, that's right, Bob Seger. Suppose They Gave a War and Nobody Came was the West Coast pop art experimental band. Sick American was Harry D. Cuff. The Ultimate Spinach gave us Hawk in Dove's Clothing. The Answer to An Open Letter to My Teenage Son, which was a Victor Lundberg screed. That was Bob Random. The Revolution Will Not Be Televised was Gil Scott-Heron. Turned out he was wrong, by the way. And My Buddy Carl from Victor Lundberg again. So that brings us up to the end. I do have one mystery tune for you. It's not much of a mystery. It's for Dr. King, and I sure as shit wish we had a guy like him around today. I'll see you next week. Be at peace, will you?
Martin Luther. Can home. You know, he freed a lot of people, but it seems a good guy. I just looked around, he was gone. Didn't you love the things he stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? And we'll be free someday soon. Oh, it's got to be one day. Bobby, can you tell me where he's gone? I thought I saw him walking over the hill. Abraham.